The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, I was stunned. I mean, either they don't know what this group is all about, or they're willfully on their side. They're not just some fun group who gives a few pennies to charity. They mock the Eucharist. They mock Jesus. They mock our Blessed Mother. They've been doing it for decades. I've been at war with them for many years. And to think that you're going to honor them in any event, I don't care what event it is a disgrace.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now, that was Dr. Bill Donahue, who was talking about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We learned that the L.A. Dodgers were planning to give a community service award to those sisters. And that was Dr. Donahue talking about that before they reversed their position. Well, guess what? They reversed it again. They caved. I'm just stunned by this. Let me back up for a second, because you might say, well, who are the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, right? Doesn't sound like a very good order, does it? It's a group of dudes. It's a group of guys who dress up in drag as nuns. And they say the most hideous things that they can say, and they mock and they blaspheme our Lord. They mock, they blaspheme our Lady. They mock and they blaspheme our church. So there was this righteous outcry, right, from Catholics all over the country about this. And the Dodgers caught a lot of flack. And they decided, you know what? We better not make this old Bud Light mistake, right? I'll tell you what, we're not going to give them the award. Decided not to do it. And everybody said, well, bravo. We're so glad to hear that. That's great news. That's a victory, right? Over the weekend, the California Angels very pointedly recognized the so-called sisters and the mayor of Anaheim called out the Dodgers for not doing so, and of course, a lot of other people started to criticize them. It took less than a week for the Dodgers management to actually to capitulate, to cave to the pressure. Now, why a professional sports team feels, I don't know, the need to promote a bunch of men in dresses pretending to be nuns that mock the Catholic Church? I mean, these nuns are holy. They're the brides of Christ, right? So, yeah, the LGBT community, you know, their lobby must be more powerful than your voice. I mean, for the LA Dodgers to capitulate, I don't understand it. Senator Marco Rubio said this. He said, quote, "Today our great country is controlled by socio-political ruling elites who don't just tolerate anti-Christian bigotry. They encourage and celebrate it." And you know what? Senator Rubio, you are right on. That's exactly what's happening. They're not just tolerating anti-Christian bigotry. This is a celebration of it. This is an encouragement of it. This is a spit right in the eye. I think it's an absolute disgrace. Here's more of what Dr. Bill Donahue said when this news first broke. As I said, this is pre the switch and the switch again, but I think what he has said is somewhat timeless. Listen.
Well, Dr. Donahue, you are no doubt a fearless defender of the Catholic faith. What was your reaction when you first learned that the L.A. Dodgers were planning on having a pry net, including this outrageous group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Well, I was stunned. I mean, either they don't know what this group is all about, or they're willfully on their side. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt that maybe they don't know how vicious they are. They're not just some fun group who gives a few pennies to charity. They mock the Eucharist. They mock Jesus. They mock our Blessed Mother. They've been doing it for decades. I've been at war with them for many years. And to think that you're going to honor them in any event, I don't care what event it is a disgrace. And so immediately we jumped on this, and we have an enormous following of people who get our emails. It doesn't cost you a dime. You can be an email subscriber right on our website. And when we get the email of somebody who's offended us, we put it out there, and then we depend. We may be the generals, but we can't win a war without the troops. The troops are the people who get our emails, get our news releases. I write them. And then all you have to do is click, and you can contact the person who's offended us and let them know what you think. And they got bombarded. They got flooded. How do I know? Because a lot of the people who emailed Rob Manfred, the head of the Major League Baseball, sent their copies to us, and we were overloaded with them. So we're delighted that the Catholics are participatory. That's what the laity are called to do. You know, but over the weekend now, there's, excuse me, There's some pushback coming from the gay side. Now, they're trying to get them to reverse the ruling. So they haven't done that. At least they haven't done that yet. And I hope that they don't. That'll be a major mistake if they do something like that. And we'll be prepared to answer if that happens. But what they ought to do is, if they want to have their gay pride night, I don't even know what that's about. That's their business. It's my business, when I run an organization fighting anti-Catholicism, to combat it wherever I see it. And that's why we got involved. And we went above the Dodgers right to Rob Manfred, whose office is right down the block from me in New York City.
Do you think the fact that Senator Marco Rubio also got in the protest along with Catholic Vote and many other organizations, anybody with any kind of common sense could see how outrageous it was to give a platform to such a blatantly bigoted group?
Well, I commend Senator Rubio. He's been a good force in the culture wars for us as Catholics. He's a good man. And as far as the gay pride thing is concerned, if they want to stand with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, they're standing for bigotry. That doesn't speak very well of the gay leadership in this country, certainly not out in L.A., that you find it you're so desperate to award bigotry at one of your events. That's insane.
My thanks to John Morales and the Morning Air team for that interview that they did with Dr. Bill Donahue. So say coming up, Tommy Valentine will be stopping by from Catholic Vote. But right now, one of my team members here is a guy named Patrick Alok, who is a huge, huge Dodger fan. And well, you used to be, I think. I knew you put all this stuff on your desk away. Well, what's up? What's your reaction to
it? You know, it's interesting. The previous topic was talking about broken friendships.
Yep.
And that's how I feel. I feel essentially heartbroken when I read the headline last night. I was just crushed I was numb for about the last 30 minutes before I went to sleep. And it feels like having a 30-year friendship end in betrayal. That's how I feel. I mean, it's crushing. And I was talking to a couple of priest friends of mine in Southern California, and they're heartbroken too, and they're mad. And I'm very disappointed as well. It crushes me. It really does.
So what are you going to do?
I mean, I was planning to go to a Dodger game when I go to vacation in California in July. That's not happening, obviously. I'm not going to buy gear. I don't even feel like watching the Dodgers. I had alerts whenever they played.
Yeah.
I'm not following that.
But if everybody, yeah. Patrick, that's a great idea, because if everybody did that, it would make a difference.
And I'm obviously I'm not going to the game. I'm not going to buy gear, and I'm going to email them. I emailed them originally when they actually made the correct decision. I emailed them thanking them. Now it's going to be the other way around.
Well, good for you, and I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep up the fight. If you want to stay, feel free to. Let me bring into the conversation Tommy Valentine as well. He is the director of the Catholic Accountability Project, the Catholic Vote. They were on the tip of the spear on this as well, trying to alert a lot of people around the country as to what's happening and to be vocal about it. Tommy, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Drew. I wish we had a more pleasant topic to talk about, but that's the world we live in today, isn't it?
So you guys were at the forefront of this. I mean, you were bringing this to a lot of people. I rejoiced when the Dodgers said, hey, you know, we're not going to do this. And I'm just curious, because, I mean, this is something like Bill Donahue, you know, you're there defending our Catholic faith and at least making people aware of what's going on, both in the culture as well as in the world of politics. What happened? I mean, why would the Dodgers cave? And what does this say? Because when I sit back and I heard that they capitulated, I thought, whose voice is more powerful? Is it the LGBTQ, you know, plus community that has a much louder and stronger voice, a greater influence than the rest of the country, than Catholics and others who find this objectionable? You know, I see this as prejudicial and filled with bigotry. It's a mockery of our faith and of nuns in general, but I love your perspective on that.
Yeah, well, something we haven't publicly reported is that we originally heard this story from a reader, actually, of The Loop, which is our daily email newsletter, and he wrote into us saying, hey, I'm a longtime Dodgers fan, I'm on their email list, I just saw on their promotional schedule that they're going to honor this group and wonder if you guys can do anything about it. And so we thought, you know, for a brand like the Dodgers, an all-American iconic brand, to throw in their lot with this group of overt anti-Catholic bigots, we thought, we can't let this stand. We've got to go to war over this. And so we wrote the letter to the Dodgers, And within, you know, 24, 36 hours, they made what we thought was the right decision. Our ask was very reasonable. It's not like we asked them to cancel the whole Pride night, even though we disagree with it. We thought, just don't stand with the worst of the worst of people who hate Catholics. And so we were very pleased when they made that decision to cancel the award. Yeah. But I think Patrick's example is the same as many examples around the country. We've heard from readers and we've seen comments online. And the thing about baseball, it's sports in general, but baseball in particular, yeah, is it's a game that people invest in emotionally from the time that they're children. Mm-hmm. And I think baseball, more than other games, is a game that a lot of people get from their fathers. You know, my dad taught me to love baseball. His dad taught him to love baseball. And when you look at examples of woke corporations like Bud Light or Target, there are alternatives. You know, I hope people stop supporting those brands and support alternative brands or small businesses in their communities. But when it comes to baseball, you know, people like Patrick are not going to go become an Angels fan or go become a Padres fan. Heaven forbid, that would be offensive to him. And I think that's the message that Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred, who is himself a Catholic, as I understand, although I'm not certain of that, that's the message they need to hear, which is that these people are not going to go to a different team. They're just going to stop watching. They're going to stop buying tickets. They're going to stop buying merchandise. And this is going to have a ripple effect across Major League Baseball.
And Tommy, I don't know, what do you think about this? I don't know if they would even be doing this if Vin Scully and Tommy Lasorda, very good Catholics, would they have been doing this if they were still alive today? I mean, and it makes it even worse.
Yeah, you're spot on. And we actually mentioned that in our first letter to the Dodgers, was this is a particularly galling given that Vin Scully just passed away last year. You know, he worked with Catholic Athletes for Christ, recorded a rosary, which I actually use to go to sleep some nights when I'm having trouble sleeping. I put his voice on and it soothes me. And he was a lifelong Catholic, went through a lot of hardships, always maintained his faith. And he wasn't the only one. You know, you look at guys like Tommy Lasorda and Gil Hodges and guys going back to the Brooklyn days who were proud Catholics, and all the Catholic fans that they have, the countless millions who I'm sure, you know, are turning in their graves. And there's many of them who were fans up until this day who are just appalled at what's happening.
Hey, Charles in Orange County, California, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Tommy Valentine. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is terribly appalling to me. This is a battle between good and evil, and I speak to all Catholics. When you were confirmed, were you not taught that you are a soldier in Christ? Well, it's about time everybody stand up and be just like the JDL and go after these people, because it's the same thing. It's a blatant hatred, malicious intent against the religion. And this is the one that Jesus Christ founded. Yeah. And this I find exceedingly appalling, that these nefarious people do these horrible acts. This is wretched.
Charles, thank you. I share your passion. I agree with you. I mean, this is a terrible offense on what I believe and what I respect. I've got a daughter that's discerning religious life, right? These are dudes dressing up as nuns and mocking them. And I won't go into all the details of what they do, but it's offensive. And I just, Tommy, I think, well, what if they did this, they decided to mock, I don't know, Jewish rabbis, and they dressed up as a rabbi and went after, or a Muslim imam, and they went down on the field, and Dodgers like, oh yeah, we're going to give them an award for this. How do you think that would go down? Why is it that Catholics and Christians in general are punching bags, and the culture can take its shots, and nothing is ever done about it?
Well, if the answer is it simply wouldn't go down, is an event like that would not be allowed to happen. Catholics are one of the last acceptable groups. It's one of the last groups that's acceptable to marginalize an attack.
It's true.
But the answer is that we are going to punch back. And so we announced today that we are going to be raising $1 million and launching a $1 million campaign to educate Dodger fans across Southern California and across the country on exactly who the Dodgers support, which is an anti-Catholic hate group. Wow. So we have, there's more than I can say right now, but we're working on a massive campaign. We're going to advertise during Dodgers games for the rest of the season. We're going to be putting up billboards around Dodger Stadium. We're going to be doing geo-targeted digital ads. We're not going to let this slide. And if the Dodgers decide that this is the ship they want to go down on, then they can do it.
Well, it's that's such a great way of putting it, because that's really the case. You know, the whole Bud Light situation, featured this guy, Dylan Mulvaney, right? Dressed up as a woman wearing pearls, taking bubble baths, trying to sell Bud Light beer. And people just stopped drinking the beer in such number that the parent company has to reshuffle its management. They also have to deal with pallet loads of now expired beer that they're bringing back. Target is seeing the same thing. They had an emergency meeting today. Last week, they started selling lines of queer-friendly clothing. And I won't go into what they're doing, but they're targeting kids with this stuff. But in a series of emergency phone calls, upper management worked with regional store managers now to get them to move their displays towards the back of the store so that people won't be offended. Well, if people are going to be offended, what's it doing in your store? Especially people down in the South, the Bible Belt. So, they don't want to have Bud Light. A lot of these companies don't want to have a Bud Light situation. No, Target doesn't. I wonder what the Dodgers, I wonder what the MLB is doing. I think a lot of Americans right now are getting fed up with all this trans stuff being shoved down their throats and poisoning their kids. In fact, a pro-LGBTQ polling group, and I just saw this story the other day, is attempting to hide the results of their own polling that found that a majority of Americans oppose subjecting children to sexual surgeries, and that they wanted to hide those things. I mean, this is absolutely, absolutely evil. My guest today, Tommy Valentine. Tommy, let's take a few more calls for you as well here. Susan in San Diego, you are on the air.
Oh, hi, Drew. You just mentioned what I was going to talk about like these people. They don't seem to have any kind of finger on the pulse of what's going on in this country. You know what I mean? To just, like, they're kind of late on the woke thing because of all the things that happened with Budweiser and everything. I was just going to say, like, hello, wake up, because they're, how many people in the stands at Dodger Stadium are actually like, yeah, let's do this thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's that many. It's
no,
like
I agree. I've always said that. I mean, the percentage has got to be so small of people that this targets, yet you offend the majority, but by a vast number. And Tommy, I want to pick up on that as well. I mean, you're talking about a very small percentage, and yet they cater to this group when they offend and alienate a large portion of their base. The Bud Light controversy showing that there's a real power in people deciding not to buy a certain product. Like, Patrick's not going to watch the shows or buy the merchandise. Are we going to see a reverberation of what happened with Bud Light, with Target, with the Dodgers, with other people who begin to go down this path?
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing across the country is people are taking courage and saying, no, we can only be pushed so far. They're willing to go to some extent in terms of compromising their values. But when you start talking about the most outrageous things, whether it's portraying a man who's basically making fun of women and being promoted by one of America's oldest companies when in terms of Bud Light, or a store like Target promoting literally satanic merchandise, or a brand like the Dodgers, which, formerly stood for American values, like, Dodger dogs and baseball. What could be more American than that? Right. And I think people are standing up and saying, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We can only be pushed so far. And I think there's power in numbers, and there's more of us than people think there are. And you're right that this tiny group of extremists has had their way with the corporations of America for the past two decades, and it's not happening anymore. We're pushing back.
My guest today is Tommy Valentine. He hails from Catholic Vote. You can check them out. They are in the forefront of this. They're going to have a campaign underway, too, to make sure that Dodger fans, and I hope all Americans, recognize the real mistake that these corporations make when they go down this avenue. Skip is in Phoenix, Arizona. He's got a comment for you, Tommy. Hi, Skip.
Hey, just as an FYI, the mayor of Anaheim has also invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to their Pride Night at Angels Stadium. Now, I don't think that's the organization's invite, but The mayor is inviting them down to that Pride Night event.
Wow. And Tommy, you're familiar with that?
Yeah. So he's right that it was not the Angels organization. It was the mayor of Anaheim. But I'd be curious to hear what the Angels organization thinks of that, especially given a name like the Angels. And I know that the owner of the Angels is a good guy. I've not heard them talk about this, about what they think about it.
Hey, Skip, thank you for that call. I appreciate that point of clarity there. Dr. Robert in Dyer, Indiana, you're on the air with Tommy Valentine. Good afternoon.
Yes, Drew. I just wanted to say it's a sad day for Catholics because a week ago when the Dodgers made that statement, I called you and you mentioned it on the air. And I thought, wow, they did the right thing. And now today, just like you said, caved in to pressure. and as a Catholic all my life, you know, enough is enough. We were together on the Walk for Mary, 5,000 of us,
yeah.
You know. We've got numbers. We just have to do the right thing.
Amen to
and
that.
And spread the word.
Amen to that. Hey, doctor, thank you. I appreciate
you.
It. And Tommy, let's talk about that. What a good call to action is people see this, whether it's Target, whether it's Bud Light, whether it's the Dodgers, it's going to be something else next. We see it all the time. What is our proper response? And how do we stop this from continuing to happen? And we have, as you point out, the only acceptable anti-bias, anti-prejudice, you know, Catholic prejudice in this country is let me rephrase that. You know, the only acceptable bias in this country is really anti-Catholicism. And that seems to be accepted by so many people. How do we counter that?
Yeah, well, I think the answer is there's a few different answers. One is that there's power in numbers. But I think, you know, as Catholics, as Americans, we tend to be quiet and we don't want to bother people. And we tend to be maybe even a little naive and unwilling to play hardball.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a quote from Stan Kasten, who's the president and CEO and part owner of the Dodgers, gave a quote to the Los Angeles Times last week when they were getting pushback from the left saying, well, we're listening to everybody and we're deciding what to do. And we thought, okay, well, great. You know, let's reach out to him. Maybe he'll call us. Maybe he'll listen to us. We want to be part of this conversation. He had no intention of including us in this conversation.
Wow.
And so I think what we need to do is we need to be aware that we can't just sit back and let this stuff go, because that's how it's gotten to this point. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't mean to fundraise on your air, but we're building this ad campaign because we need to punch back. And people pooling their resources and their time and their voices to really outnumber and show that we do outnumber the extreme voices of the left. I think it's time for us to get noisy and not just stand by and take this sort of stuff
anymore. It's such a good point, because, I mean, we are the majority, right? We really are. We outnumber that minority, and yet their voice has really been amplified. And I saw this reversal. They go one way, they reverse it. Again, I'm thinking, what is it about their voice that's so strong and so powerful that makes them want to go ahead and say, "Oh, we got to bow to this crazy group"?
And Tommy, also, are you doing anything in the Spanish front? Because I know a lot of the fans of Dodger Stadium are of Hispanic descent. Is there anything in the Spanish speaking community as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. I can't say because we haven't quite finalized things yet, but we're definitely going to be reaching out to those folks, the faithful Catholics who fill the stands at Dodger Stadium every night, many of whom are of Hispanic descent.
Let's empty that stadium. That's what I say. That'll wake them up. Like all the, like what happened with Bud Light. Jim in St. Petersburg, Florida, you're on the air with Tommy. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. And thank you for taking my call. I am going to a ball game tonight in St. Petersburg, and yet the Rays are going to play the Dodgers starting this Friday. And I guess I wonder if there's anything people can do collectively at these ball games to show their protest. I'm a big ball fan. I played it all my life. Yeah. And this is an insult to me.
Well, Jim, thanks for the call. It's a great question. Tommy, what do you suggest? Just not go to the game, or how do you make your voice heard? Because whenever I boycott or don't want to attend something, I at least write a letter to management and I say, I'm not going to buy it. They may not care, but if enough people said that, then they're going to get that message. But what would you say to Jim?
Yeah, well, Jim brings up a good point, and I would say there's a couple different ways he could approach it. One would be, as you're saying, decide not to go to the game, sell his tickets, and, you know, write into the Rays and say, this is why I'm not supporting the Dodgers. Another thing he could do is bring a sign to the game and say, you know, Dodgers stand with anti-Catholic hatred. And, you know, the cameras will try to ignore him, but he'll be spreading the word among fans in Florida who may not have heard this story, like, what's that all about? And I bet he'd get all sorts of questions. And, you know, there's actually a good example that comes out of Tampa, because it was last year that the Rays had a pride night of their own where they had these rainbow-tinged jerseys, which they required all their players to wear. And I think it was 5 Christian players who all banded together and said, we can't do this. This goes against our faith. And they actually succeeded, and they were supported by their manager, who said, I respect them. I support what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that evokes what's happening in the NHL, where a similar dynamic is playing out, where a lot of teams ended up just canceling plans to do this sort of thing. So it only takes a small group of people, you know, 5 players, they weren't even really the stars of the team, to say, no, I can't participate in this. to get these companies to reconsider, because it's when we all go along with it,
that's right,
it emboldens the extremists on the other side.
So, hey, Kelly in San Diego, California, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Tommy Valentine. Go right ahead.
Hey, real quick, I just want to know if the Archdiocese has gotten involved.
Good question.
What's
happening with the diocese? Any word on that?
Yes. So that was within the last hour that the Archdiocese of LA put out a very strong statement calling out anti-Catholic bigotry, calling on Catholics to write in word letters of encouragement and support to sisters and orders within their dioceses, wherever that may be. So we're very pleased with that statement. And I know that the Diocese of Orange, which is where Anaheim is, had also put out a statement last night after that stunt we just referenced with the mayor inviting them to an Angels game. So we've been pleased at the bishops calling this out for what it is, and we call on more bishops across the country to speak out.
Yeah, you know, this is a situation, and in some respects, I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad we can talk about it, because we had Bud Light, we've got Target, we've got so many of these other companies and organizations going woke. You know, Disney, we can go through the whole litany of things. I think this is, you know, how many times can we get slapped in the face as Catholics and as Christians, right? I think it is time to stand up, to start to use the power both of our voice and our wallet to say no. I mean, Bud Light rues the day that they ever hired Dylan Mulvaney to represent their beer. I hope the Dodgers learn from this, and I hope the rest of the MLB and other sports organizations do as well. I wish you the very best, and hope God's greatest blessing comes on your campaign to wake up Christians in L.A. And all over the country with what you're doing with your campaign. People want to get connected to you. What's the best way to do that, Tommy?
CatholicVote.org. We've got the headlines right there on the homepage if people want to support us.
All right, we'll follow the story. Love to have you back, okay? We'll continue to see how things unfold. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate your time.
You got it. That's Tommy Valentine. He is the director of Catholic Accountability Project there at Catholic Vote. And there's a lot going on. Just as a side note here, Connecticut just passed a bill banning discrimination against so-called minor attracted people. What? I mean, what? I mean, it's okay to mock a nun, a symbol of purity and virtue, who's dedicated her life to God, and you've got the state of Connecticut passing a bill banning discrimination. We're not gonna ban these guys who mock our Catholic faith, but we're going to pass a bill against so-called minor attracted persons. You know what a minor attracted person is, right? Yeah, it's a pedophile is really what it is. Horrible. If I lived there in Connecticut with young kids, I'd be looking to move as soon as possible. But we're seeing a move into the mainstream. And what was once unthinkable is now becoming normal. The abnormal is now normal. And we as Catholics have the power to do something. So let your voice be heard. And above all, as a final thought here, employ the great gift that Christ has given us, the arrows in our quiver, the bullets in our gun, and those are the sacraments. We have the power of the sacraments. Use them, right? Pray. Pray for conversion. God will certainly hear that prayer. It is bottom of the hour. When I come back, we'll change gears. I want to take a look at lots going on in the world right now of politics. Tim Scott came out and announced his run for the presidency. I've liked this guy. I think he's a moral man. Boy, The View attacked him. Did you hear about that? I'll fill you in on all the details when I return.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, Eurythmics there. A little flashback. Good to have you with me today. Good afternoon. Hey, just before we get to our next topic here, just a couple emails flying in here. And I am very grateful. Amy, listening to us in Reno, Nevada, she said, I just emailed the team owners. She gave me their email. And it's fanfeedback@LADodgers.com. So if you want to send off a quick email, Maggie, I'll forward this to you. Fanfeedback@LADodgers.com. Fanfeedback@LADodgers.com. Com. Send him an email. Say, hey, you're offended. Tell him not to do this. All right. The other email that came in here, too, and there's a number of them. I'll just share this one. It says, hey, Drew, check out this link to see about Arizona Diamondbacks. We're having Catholic night at Chase Field in Phoenix. Sharon, thank you from Mesa, Arizona, for sending it along. She sent me the link, and lots of other emails continue to come in here. But we got a lot of news to get into. One other news story here that I think just came in and is on my radar. Maggie, did you send it over? You did. Here we go. There was a fire. If you are in the Chicago area, a person of interest is now in custody in a suspected attack on the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines, Illinois. And we've been reporting on these attacks against Catholic churches and pro-life clinics as well. But Catholic churches have really seen incredible vandalism. And here we have, we've got arson in effect. But the latest is that person has been apprehended. So we'll see what happens. That's the latest there. Big news in the world of politics, too. And I do want to get to that with you right now. Tim Scott, I had mentioned months ago that I'd seen a couple of television interviews with him. I read about this man's background and his history. And it seems like a moral man. It seems like a good leader. The big news right now, though, outside of Tim Scott, who's polling at about 1% right now after he made his announcement, was the fact that Governor DeSantis, the Florida governor, the big news on Twitter is that he's going to announce his candidacy for president with Elon Musk, and that's supposedly going to take place tomorrow. Of course, DeSantis has been gunning for the job for more than a year, and it's only a matter of time before he made the announcement. He's raised a lot of money. The Florida legislature even changed the state law there so that he doesn't have to give up being governor so he can run. A lot of times you've got to step down for what you're doing. They love him in Florida, right? You may love him too. I don't know. But there was another announcement yesterday. It got a little bit of notice from the media. That is Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. He announced he was going to run for president. And with all the attention of then, remember Senator Barack Obama, junior senator, running for president? He was black, but he was eloquent. I mean, the thing about Barack Obama, the man had charisma and eloquence. I mean, I enjoyed listening to the man speak. Didn't always agree with what he had to say, of course. But boy, he took the country by storm. So now you've got another black American. You got a senator from South Carolina saying, I am going to run to be president, right? Don't you think you get a little more media attention? A little more, hey, this is great, right? No, not at all. You know, you'd be totally wrong. You know why? Because, and don't forgive me if this sounds crass, some are saying he's the wrong kind of black. Isn't that horrible? Why? Because he's conservative? They're saying he's a conservative black just like Justice Clarence Thomas, only the second black in the country to serve the nation's highest court. Is the wrong kind of black? I mean, I think Justice Clarence Thomas is brilliant. By the way, he's a good Catholic, too. You know, the media went wild on this. Let me share with you Tim Scott's announcement first. Here's what he had to say when he made his announcement. And I love what he had to say. Listen to this.
Our party and our nation are standing at a time for choosing victimhood or victory, grievance or greatness. I choose freedom and hope and opportunity. Today, I'm living proof that America is the land of opportunity and not a land of oppression. And that's why I'm announcing today that I'm running for president of the United States of America.
I love it. That was not off a teleprompter, right? That was from the heart. Scott's 57 years old. He is really a personal success story. He grew up in poverty, lived with a single mother in his grandparents' house. He was mentored by a local Chick-fil-A business owner who taught him conservative business principles and allowed him to see really a better way of life. And he described his life as a, quote, only in America story. He sees the greatness of America and what you can achieve. You can come from nothing and achieve greatness in this country. And I you know, I like this guy, and I'm not endorsing him or any candidate. I'm a man who's about principle. Here's what he said. He says, people need to take individual responsibility for their lives. People need to take individual responsibility. We are not seeing that today, are we? Now, everybody wants a handout. Nobody's responsible for anything. He's a great, great example. He faced a lot of criticism, too, for black activists in 2021 after declaring. He said, look, America is not a racist country. That was in response to a speech from President Joe Biden that condemned racism following, you know, the white supremacist mass shooting. But he says, look, we're not a racist country. You should have thought that what he had to say when he made the announcement my gosh, how could he have ever thought of running? Listen to what The View, the women on The View, had to say. Now, they love Joe Biden. They love Barack Obama. Senator Tim Scott, well, listen to this.
I think one of the issues that Tim Scott has is that he seems to think because I made it, everyone can make it, ignoring, again, the fact that he is the exception and not the rule. And until he is the rule, then he can stop talking about systemic racism.
He's Clarence Thomas syndrome.
But I do think that he has championed.
Hey, Maggie, one more too, right? Let's run the other one too if we could. Here's the other one.
And he's one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it, neither does Clarence.
Right.
And that's why they're Republicans.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get it.
I know.
He doesn't get it. That's why they're Republicans. Republicans don't get it, right? It's so nauseating to listen to that. I mean, it's crazy. Hey, I want to bring into the conversation right now Kendall Qualls. He's a former Republican candidate for governor of Minnesota, is the president of Take Charge. It strives to unite Americans, right? I love it. Regardless of the background, their philosophy is towards a shared history and common set of beliefs. And you can check them out, takechargemn.org, takechargeminnesota.com is the best way to get a hold of them. And they promote the idea that the promise of America is available to everyone, regardless of your race, regardless of your social standing. It doesn't matter. That is what that's what America is really all about. Kendall, thanks for joining me. It's good to have you here today.
Drew, thank you so much for having me. Sorry for my hoarse voice. I just got back from the nation of Israel.
Oh, wow.
After spending a week there. And so time zone change, speaking up all night, everything else. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm delighted to have you. I appreciate the work that your organization does. I'd love your take on Tim Scott's run for president. Unlikely to get very far with Donald Trump casting this huge shadow over the race. Maybe he'll end up as a VP for somebody. Who knows? Maybe people will see who this man is and take a look at him. I think a lot of people may not even know who he is or what he stands for. How do you view him? I think of Alan Keyes, who ran years ago as a presidential candidate. Does he have a better chance than him? Because Keyes was an African-American man. He was principled, had great values, but didn't get too far.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm going to tell you about Tim. He's a good, honest, decent man, and we need more of those kind of people in the political conversation at a national level, regardless of race. But his personal story is phenomenal. Now, me personally, I spent most of my time on my entire adult career in the private sector. I got into the public arena because things have gotten so wacky here in Minnesota. Yep. And I felt like I needed to add my voice. And my background is very similar to Tim Scott. He endorsed me when I ran for Congress, U.S. Congress, in the 3rd Congressional District. It's the western suburbs of Minnesota. And Tim's a good, honest, decent man. What I can say is that I'm not sure of his viability as a candidate, but what he'll do, he'll add, I think, a good, measured conversation on the national level.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope that is indeed going to be the case. The criticism he's gotten from the left is, you know, like you and, you know, they make this comparison to Clarence Thomas. Okay, they're both successful. I mean, why is that a criticism? And because he's successful, he can't claim the mantle of being a black man running for president. I mean, that's what The View is saying. Although, you know, and believe it or not, that came, I think, Whoopi Goldberg or somebody who doesn't, by the way, live in, northern Minneapolis. But this is, to me, reverse racism in some respects, don't you think?
This is old talking points. It's like I've seen this movie, version 10.0 come out again. Listen, there are millions of Black Americans like Tim Scott, like myself, that came from abject poverty, and we found our success and our pathway in life through the private sector. And it works. The formula for America works.
Yeah, amen.
And I'll give you 2 points on this, why this is so important. People like us in the Black community, we don't have a viable platform, a communication platform. You provide this, Drew, for us.
Yep.
But when it comes to the major networks, they shut out a large percentage of Black Americans that have very similar views. And if I can give you a quick example, our organization, Take Charge, MN.com, we put out a survey last year. We just got back in January. It was a national survey of Black Americans. 76% of them were Democrats. And basically, we asked the question that, do you believe that children are better off when there's a father in the home? The government policy should incentivize two-parent families rather than creating financial incentives for single parenthood. Over 60% of Black Americans agreed to that point.
Wow.
Those people don't have a voice. The NAACP doesn't support this. Wow. The media doesn't support that message. You would never know that. And so that's why we started our organization to be able to give some of these, they call them conservative, they used to be American views.
Yeah, that's so true. Such a great point. My guest today, Kendall Qualls. I've got to take a short pause here, Kendall. Hang out with me, okay? When we come back, final segment of the broadcast is ahead. If you want to get in, you want to sound off, this is your opportunity. The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Taking a look at the announcement, Tim Scott throwing his hat into the race and sharing a couple things you might need to know about him. Of course, big news tomorrow, too. Governor DeSantis is going to be making his announcement. Just taking a look at where we are. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Yeah, big news yesterday, and it's going to start coming with greater frequency and intensity as the political cycle is going to wrap up. The South Carolina Senator, Tim Scott, announced his campaign for President of the United States. He is a very interesting character, and I'm not going to endorse any candidates. I'm just going to say to you, do your due diligence, right? Look into the principles of where these candidates stand when it comes to life, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to economic policy, when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, there's a lot of things we can take a look at. The other thing about Tim Scott that I found interesting is his faith. He's going to court evangelical voters, and he's going to probably lean more on his conservative Christian identity. But he sees himself first as a Bible leader rather than a Republican or conservative, he says. There was a video that declared he was launching an exploratory committee for president. When that ran, he says, I will defend the Judeo-Christian foundation our nation was built on. And I think that's so critical because we have lost that. This vision of our founding fathers. Virtue is so important. He's a pro-life guy, too. I think it was back in April, he said he would sign the most conservative pro-life legislation that can get through Congress if he's elected president. He's a pro-life man. And, of course, he didn't give any specifics on how far, into that he would go. But, we know where he stands. He did not rule out a 6-week federal ban when asked to clarify his stance. And some people say, well, what about Donald Trump? He's the, you know, 800-pound gorilla right now in the room over the rest of these guys. You know, what about policies? I think he was on, I think Sean Hannity did an interview with him back in February, and they asked the differences between his platform and Trump's. And he says, you know, the senator at the time, Scott, said, like, probably there's not much difference. You know, the policies that passed under Trump's presidencies, he called monumental. And he said he was thankful that Trump was elected. So there's going to be a lot of decisions for Americans to make. You want Joe Biden again? Great. You got your candidate in Kamala Harris. Do you want something different on the conservative side of the aisle? You got to think about that. I'm joined today by Kendall Qualls, and I'm glad to have him here with us today. He's a former Republican candidate for governor of Minnesota and is president of a group called Take Charge. And Kendall, let's jump into the phones, and then you and I can talk about one of the great myths of our day, and I think that's the systemic racism that so many people think is so inculcated into our culture. But first, Sandra is in Tampa, Florida. Sandra, hi, you're on the air with Kendall Qualls.
Hey, go right ahead. Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, racism is not in this country, or we wouldn't have a biracial President Obama. The problem is the difference between conservative and non-conservative. I heard Tim Scott announcement speech. I actually yelled out loud, and I was by myself. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I love this guy. Yeah. And I don't know that much about him, but I'm going to learn it. My children are the same makeup as Obama. They're half black, half white. Mm-hmm. And I still cried when he became president. I just hoped that he wouldn't do anything too bad. But he divided and polarized this country in a way that I could never have imagined. It was all about racism. Well, how could we be racist if we elected a black president? Well, it doesn't even make any sense.
Well, Sandra, you know, there are racists in the country. I'm with you. I tend to believe that a majority of Americans don't look at the pigment of somebody's skin and you know, that's not their primary focus. I would hope most people look at the character of somebody's, the quality of somebody's character, their intelligence, their qualifications, who they are, right? Not their skin color. And you've got biracial children, so you probably know this more than anything. There are prejudicial people, but it's not as systemic as the media and everybody wants you to believe. And Kendall, let's pick up on that point. How do you view the systemic racism that everybody says is so rampant in our culture? It's the very fabric of what America is, its roots are, and still is today. I don't buy that. I'm with Tim Scott. And Tim Scott says, we are not a racist country. Give me your take on it, Kendall.
Yeah, it's an absolute lie that we are a systemic racist country. Now, there was a time when we were. My parents lived through that in Jim Crow South, but they would have loved to have grown up in the America that I grew up in. And why do we have the disparity? So here is the reason they're driving this narrative, Drew, is that we do have huge disparities, but they're not because of white privilege. They're because of two-parent privilege. When I was a kid, 80% of children in the black community were born in two-parent families.
Yep.
Today, it's 80% fatherless homes. What changed? It's when the Democrats introduced, for the first time in American history, a financial incentive for women to have children outside of marriage. And we've never recovered. We've never had one initiative to reverse the trend because they don't want to reverse the trend. And that's what we're doing at Take Charge to help do that. That's why they're driving this narrative. Huge disparities, but it's not because of racism.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Earlier in the broadcast today, we were taking a look at, in the very first hour of my show, the decline of church attendance and of Christian practice and a whole litany of things. And my guest made a really great point. He talked about what was causing the breakdown, and it's the attack on the family and it's fatherlessness. That's what it is, and I think you're so right. We see this as another byproduct of, the fallout from the attack both on family and marriage. And I see it not just when it comes to religion. I see it in the culture. I see it on opportunity for a lot of Americans. I only have about a moment or two left. I want to promote also your organization. So if people want to get plugged into that, what does it do? I mean, how do you reestablish those values that we speak of?
Yeah, it's great. We're having a great time. I've been in the private sector. I've served in the military. I've went to nonprofits to help serve our country. We're internally, we are struggling, and we are the foundations are being shaken, and I wanted to come and help do that. So one of the things we do, we fight back against this woke narrative that is they're using race to drive a political agenda of socialism against our country. Yeah. They're trying to undermine the very foundations of who we are as a nation and to push back against capitalism. So we counter that narrative. We do it with facts. We do it with head and heart stories. And second, we recruit people from the black community to help restore our culture to what the roots were before we had help from the government. Mm. And those roots were faith, family, and education, getting a better education for our children. And so we've recruited over 50 volunteers. We got people that are coming on board from South Carolina, from Memphis, Tennessee, from Colorado. And we're right here at the epicenter where all the rioting and looting started 3 years ago. And there's a reason. I'm not a native Minnesotan. God brought me here over 10 years ago. And it is to bring basically the phoenix out of the fire of what happened here 3 years ago.
Wow. I'm grateful for what you're doing. I got to leave it right there because I'm out of time for the day. Kendall, thanks for being here. Check out TakeChargeMinnesota.com. That's TakeChargeMN.com. I am out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you missed any of the conversation or you want to share it with somebody else, Maggie's going to have our podcast put up here right after the show. So you can check that podcast out at relevantradio.com or where all podcasts are available. Thanks for listening. I'll be praying for you. We'll talk again soon. God bless.